The Bang Radio Hour is proud to be part of the Belly Up Sports Network. Be bold. Stand out.
Harry Sphincter is standing by with Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers.
Thank you, Bill. Harry Sphincter here with Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers. Philip, would you like to give us your thoughts about the game?
Well,
how about your opponent, Tom Brady? Do you have any thoughts about Tom Brady? Well, you had a good game. Brady was just on fire today. Did you ever think maybe he would make a mistake, give you an interception or something, maybe shorten the field?
I'm
not a fan of Tom Brady.
Oh, I hate him.
Well, why don't you like Tom Brady?
I hate him.
Well, this is Harry Sphincter here with an obviously upset Philip Rivers. Back to you, Bill.
Check for sound. Check for power.
Systems online. Wait, what?
The Cleveland Browns are on the clock.
We're called Cleveland for a reason. Go Browns!
Hello, Cleveland!
We on fire!
Step up in the party, step up in the party, ha!
Now we went to being a laughingstock, like getting teased like usual.
I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
What are you talking about?
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
It's a great day to be a big old cot.
And now, here's John and Tom.
Preaching to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel.
We stink.
Brady drops to the knee, razor sharp all day long here at Gillette. The Patriots quarterback threw for 343 yards, and the Pats remain unbeaten at home.
Arrowhead Stadium gets ready to host its first ever AFC Championship game. Kansas City all the way, start to finish.
Ooh. Oh, takes the snap again. He steps up. He lets it fly, and it is intercepted. It is picked off. And going back with the football to the 34-yard line, the Saints have it.
And New Orleans are moving on to the NFC Championship for the third time in the past 13 seasons.
First down, Jared Goff. He falls in bounds with a new set of downs.
Fireworks fly from the peristyle here at the Coliseum. Final seconds wind down. The sidelines pour onto the field to exchange their greetings. The Dallas Cowboys are done. The Rams get that postseason victory, and congratulations.
I hate football! I hate football!
I really do.
Now.
I do.
Don't be down on your team.
I hate football.
I guess so. You know what's cute, though? I'll tell you what's something that's cute there, Tom. The Saints, they've made their third championship game in 13 years. Yeah, that's real fucking cute there.
What is this?
Eight in a row for the Patriots. Holy crap.
All right. I'm Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 349. And
wow.
Coming up, Give Me Your Soul, Michael the Rock Star. Fire everybody. Everybody's fired.
This house is on fire. You're all fired.
Who cares about the past eight AFC title games? Everyone thinks we suck. Onya mata, what's a matter, whatever, or something like that. First,
what's a matter, you?
Yeah, let's get to the weather and the drama in Kansas City, which looks like it's going to continue. But
the drama?
So we had this storm moving into Kansas City on Sunday morning, on Saturday morning, rather. And I'm watching, right. I'm watching the pregame and everything, and I'm watching, the Good Morning Football Weekend Edition on NFL Network.
It's a good show, isn't it?
I love the one during the week.
It's a good show.
Because I just think they got great chemistry, and Katie Adams is the best female NFL analyst I've ever seen. And
I still got a thing for Susie Colbert. I'd like to up against it, anything.
I don't know, man. Susie's a great host and MC, but Kate knows football.
I don't care. Susie always looks like she just did a bong hit. She's ready to go to bed and watch football. I'm down with that.
All right. And anyway, so everybody, but then on the weekend, it's a different crew.
Have you seen the Friday night show at 6 o'clock, by the way?
Yeah.
With Kyle Brandt? That's a damn good show. That's a lot of fun.
I like NFL Network, period.
Yeah,
I can watch anything on that channel. It seems like.
What's up, Rich Eisen? We know you're listening.
Yeah, we do. And speaking of Rich, we got something funny from him coming up here. But when the weather announcement came out that it was going to be snowing all the way up to the game, and they were seeing people who had picked the Chiefs then said, nope, I'm going with Colts.
Yeah, well, I already did that. I didn't even know the weather. I fucked up early. I screwed up last Tuesday as we were recording the show.
Well, it's like because of the defense and the running game, and I'm like, wait a minute here. The Chiefs run the ball just fine.
Yeah, they do. Even it doesn't matter who's in. I don't even know what the name of the running back that they used this past weekend
was. Damian Williams. He's been there since, went down? Or since he got booted out of the league.
That's fine, but he's still he's a schmuck that's been there since got booted out of the league. It's not somebody that was on anybody's radar, and he's running just fine.
Which shows it's the system.
I think you're right.
Andy Reid's got his eye on those Big Macs at the White House.
So anyway, they're all jumping off the bandwagon, the ones who were on the Chiefs bandwagon. I'm like, y'all crazy, because first off, this weather favors the offense, not the defense.
Right. Y'all crazy.
And it did. And they, they took care of business. But
not only that, but let's face it. When they say a snow game, very rarely do we see something affected like we saw with the Colts and the Bills last year.
Right.
This game in particular is a good example of what I'm talking about. It snowed and snowed and snowed and snowed and snowed. And by the middle of the first quarter, the goddamn field was clear as it was clean. So I don't see where it really affects. I don't see where all that snow really affects much, unless it piles up like it did in Buffalo.
Well, it affected the game in the sense that the refs were about to penalize the Chiefs because the fans were throwing snowballs out of the stands.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Andy Reid was like, hey, no throwing snowballs unless you're flinging some Slim Jims down here. I like the beef jerky.
How hilarious. Here he comes over to the track.
The big red coach from Scotland.
Coming over there to bitch at the fans, telling them, be smart. I mean, here's Andy Reid down there yelling up at this one little, like there's all the way around, like nobody else can hear him, but he's yelling up this one section.
He had his finger up.
Cotton candy, down here, give me a blue one. Snow cone, come on. You're not in Cleveland.
And that's all I heard about.
Yeah, they were talking about that on the TV broadcast.
So, we had a winter storm going on at the same exact time. And it was hilarious. The local news crew. Man, it's so hard for me to watch local news anymore. These guys.
Do you remember a couple of years ago, we had the local news here in D.C. during a snowstorm, got pranked by some guy that called him up from, he said he was with the Department of Transportation for Virginia, and he, recommended that people stay home and not go out looking for hookers or cocaine during the storm. And they kept him on the air for like 10 minutes.
It was great.
The guy in the little window on the side of the screen driving around in the weather van was waving at the camera. They couldn't hear him. It was great.
And disabled vehicles. There were just as many stranded cars like the ones that we're seeing on the video here. Is that a big problem?
Yeah, that's the prime example. I mean, my drug dealer and my prostitute were on the way and, they couldn't get it delivered. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and we're looking live, Jason, at the Storm Team 4x4 camera, and this is on, I believe, 395. Adam Tussa is driving with Storm Team 4x4, and we see one of those disabled vehicles. It says a lot that this is happening on an interstate, the places that are often cleared first.
Right. The side roads are completely unpassable right now. We have a radio dispatch telling us that constantly, and, deliveries just aren't happening right now, or any sort of services, EMTs having trouble, all sorts of things.
So because there are people, when the sun comes up, people kind of have this false sense of security that things are going to be okay. We know the snow is going to be coming down. So for people that are traveling out or that need to, what are your words of advice?
Stay bunkered down as long as possible, and then check the main roads, call your friends, family, use your networks that you know to see if it's passable. If it's not, don't take a chance. There's no reason for it. The prostitutes will be there tomorrow morning and we can, have a good time then.
Dude, we got 6 inches of snow on Saturday. Oh my God, it was an apocalypse.
Oh, we had three here, but listen, this is our local Fox 28. Our local Fox News.
Action News 28.
Here we go.
Under a blanket of snow.
It was a little slick.
Okay, again, we're talking about three to 4 inches.
It was a dog blanket of snow. Very thin, something he can chew on.
Under a blanket it's of snow.
It was a little slick. I have to be honest about that.
Central Ohio. God.
That woman goes, it was, did you hear? She goes, and she doesn't even sound like she's from Ohio, but she goes, it was a little slick. I have to be honest about that. What would really?
I'm not going to lie. I came out here, I was going to tell you that everything was fine, but it was not. It was just a little slick. I'm not going to lie.
Look, you up there in Ohio, I don't want to hear it. Look, for everybody that's out there, I'm in D.C. You know how many transients are here that have never seen snow? Oh, my God. 2 inches of snow is literally an apocalypse. You know the worst thing that you could possibly see when you're out in the snow? It's like, let's say there's 4 inches of snow on the ground, and you're driving down the highway doing 35 with everybody else. Everything's nice and slow. You see that Suburban with diplomatic plates go by with a guy that's clearly from the Southern Hemisphere flying at 65 miles an hour. You just know, fuck, there's going to be a pileup. We're going to be stuck here for 2 hours because that moron's not going to be able to stop.
Its first real taste of winter to start the year. We've got team coverage tracking conditions out on the roads.
What's the craziest thing you've seen?
A car, like, spin around at a four-way stop.
He said, he asked her, what's the craziest thing you've seen? She says, I saw a car spin around completely.
I tell her the craziest thing I've seen is a van full of reporters out here asking me about 2.5 inches of snow. What the hell are you people doing?
And mapping out the rest of your weekend. Viewers also giving us insight on how things are looking tonight in their communities.
Viewers giving us insight on how things are looking tonight in their communities. Guess what? It's white. That's what my community is white from 3-4 inches of snow.
But it's not just viewers in your community, Tom. It's viewers in your community giving us their insights.
Stay warm and drink lots of green tea.
If you're in the community, let's find out what your insights are.
Don't get too cold and stay warm.
Frankie McDonald. I love it.
I got to tell you. I feel cheated when we have a Saturday snow. I really do. I feel like, fuck, why couldn't this be like a Thursday thing?
Why?
Because Thursday overnight snow means no work on Friday. You don't have to go anywhere. You can work from home. Right? Saturday snow sucks.
I don't have that luxury. I'd rather it on the weekend so I don't have to go to work in the mess.
Wait a minute. Well, see, everybody's got their own thing that they want to talk about when it comes to the snow.
Yeah, John wants, what are you going to, next he's going to be rooting for participation trophies.
Oh, it snowed, I can't go to work. Wah.
Hey, I can work from anywhere, that's the beauty of my job. But here's the bottom line, so can Patrick Mahomes, and he don't have to go anywhere.
No, but he's got an audible called Helen Keller, John.
She's not going to hear it.
What?
What's he stand up and run his fingers around?
Listen.
Third down and 6.
And you know, Liz. Helen Keller.
Liz. All right, so based on what we kind of thought we figured out with the Halle Berry play, is it possible that Kelsey caught the pass on this play?
Yeah, I don't know. I just got this clip, but I didn't see the play.
So that's what I want to know. Somebody out there is a hardcore Chiefs fan. The Helen Keller call, did Kelsey catch the pass?
You know, Helen Keller, Tom. Helen Keller. Helen Keller, we call a Helen Keller play when we want to catch defense off guard. Off guard. We want to catch them unaware. We call a Helen Keller.
Maybe that's the one they used to get people to jump off sides.
Helen Keller, Stevie Wonder, Beethoven, Phil Simms. Nobody knows if we're running the play blind, deaf, or dumb.
Who's Liz?
Liz Taylor. Purple eyes. Everybody bought her cologne.
What's funny, you know, he gets teams to jump offside with that voice. Collinsworth even talks about it. Here, listen to this play call.
Rolling to his left, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and it looks like his shoulder can come out of the socket to make some of the throws he's made.
You know, his knee looks fine after he came out of a little jippy on the last series. Didn't do much work on it again, coming across that line, and they blow the play dead because that was unimpeded to the quarterback.
Offside, unimpeded to the quarterback. 5-yard penalty results in a
first down.
Well, they call him Kermit the Frog, and that voice is drawing the Colts off time after time. Look how intense he is.
Now, wait a minute. He said he made the accusation that he said, quote, that voice is drawing them offside time after time.
Yeah, well, frankly, when he's yelling out signals, I really don't hear the Kermit the Frog in there. He's not in there yelling, hut, 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 hut. Right. He's not doing that. You know, he's not. He sounded very loud and very authoritative there, Tom. I almost felt like I should fall on my knees and genuflect. However, we do have the actual audio of the play call, and this is why they jump.
You don't have to come in here and try to somebody in those rooms. I can fix this here. I'll shoot. Program going to get your voice, man.
There it is, man. Yeah, that's it.
I'll tell you what. Collinsworth. I mean, we make fun of him here and there. We make fun of him here and there with his voice, but we really haven't done it too much, even though every time we bring him up, we make fun of it. Collinsworth brings it up on national TV and has called him Kermit the Frog twice now.
Well, they call him Kermit the Frog, and that boy.
He says they call him Kermit the Frog.
Right. Right. Well, maybe they do, but this time he says, you know, Kermit the Frog gets the jump off sides with this bullshit. He did not. He didn't sound like Kermit. I think Kermit ought to call out Collinsworth.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be awesome. After the game this week, after the Tom Brady retirement party.
Oh, listen to this, folks.
Nah, I'm just bullshitting. That was the other great meme I saw. The meme I saw this week. That was the other good one I saw.
You said meme.
I know. I'm an old guy. What can I tell you? What else would he? Why would you look at that word and think meme? And why would anybody write that word? I don't know what the fuck is up with people that develop the internet. The word blog is the dumbest damn thing. You know, to me, what blog sounds like at my age, Tom? Something nice that happens at around 6 o'clock in the morning. Oh yeah,
memes.
Right.
Memes.
Yeah, that was the other great
memes
I saw this week. The Tom Brady retirement party.
Wow.
But you'll have to stay tuned to the end of the show to find out why I'm picking against that. Oh, damn, I gave it away.
All right, you got anything else on that game?
I picked the Colts. I believed in the Colts. I still think I like the Colts going forward. I think they've got a hell of a good team. But did you see on TV when they had the Applebee's commercial with riblets and all kinds of shit in slow motion while Marvin Gaye is singing, "Let's Get It On"? And in the little window to the right, they have Andy Reid looking over his play chart. That was just so poetic. It was beautiful.
Oh, my God.
I almost wanted to see him look to the left a little bit and go, "Hey, I can smell ribs." It was beautiful. I got to give them credit for that. Do it again this weekend.
All right. Well, my Cowboy season, rather, is over. And
I'm sorry for you. And I'm sorry for the show purposes, too, because I think it would have been fun for the show to have the Cowboys go all the way and lose.
Oh, Jesus. Thanks.
Sorry. I'm sorry. You know I love you.
Aikman. And I kind of feel like, you know, John gave me this clip, and I went, yeah, I get it, but I kind of think, like, he really enjoyed the fact that we're going to play this clip, which talks about these statistics.
You know, the Rams have over 230 yards rushing.
See, he would have been happy if I just played that.
Yes, I would have, but this usually is beneath us. We usually don't go for these kinds of gaffes, but this one was just ridiculous.
You know, the Rams have over 230 yards rushing on the ground, but whether it's C.J. Anderson or Todd Gurley, it hasn't mattered.
Oh my God.
I don't think CJ Anderson could get off the ground without a forklift. Holy crap. Seriously, man, when did he put on all that weight?
I don't know, man.
Maybe that's why he got cut in Carolina and nobody picked him up, but you know what? He looked damn good the other night. And it wasn't just because they were opening big holes. He was hitting those holes. That's harder to do than people seem to think it is, man. By the time he got the ball in his gut, which was ample, he was on a dead run, man. That dude looked really good.
It was like watching Jerome Bettis.
It really was. And I was going to say the same thing, but you beat me to it. But it really was. For you youngins, he used to play for the Rams when he was a rookie. He was rookie of the year.
All right. So this here was a little aside from the game. DeMarcus Lawrence, Cowboys defensive end, before the game, was asked for his thoughts on Jared Goff. And he replied, and this was not a shot at Goff. Honestly, when you look, I'm going to give you the direct quote from Lawrence. Here it is. He's a quarterback. I don't like quarterbacks. My impression is the same. I go into every week wanting to take the quarterback's soul. When you get to look in a man's eye and see fear in his heart, that's when you know you've got him. That's how I play the game, and that's how we're going to dictate the game.
Dude, you cannot talk like this in the modern, oh my God, everything is going to be hurting me, I'm triggered, fucking world. You can't let fear see in a man's eye. I got to tell you, two things. One, DeMarcus Lawrence, Dallas Cowboy, fuck him. DeMarcus Lawrence, defensive end, fuck yes! Fuck yes! I love that. I love that. The quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard.
He wants his soul, John.
Oh, he wants to eat his children, Tom. He wants to eat his children. Unless Brad Pitt is there, and then he turns into a wet noodle.
Oh, my God. All right, so, you know, of course, this is bulletin board material for the Rams. And, you know, I've heard coaches and players up front, when you ask them about it, they'll say none of that stuff really matters. But Aqib Talib proves they do think about this stuff, and it is, in fact, bulletin board material, because at the end of the Cowboys-Rams game, here's Jared Goff on TV being interviewed when Aqib Talib decides to butt in and say this.
We know this defense, and we prepared for it well all week, and what Todd and CJ did this week.
Take somebody's soul. He ain't taking no fucking soul out.
Aqib Talib, excuse the language, he's a little excited.
Bleep that one.
Yeah, we'll bet.
He's right, though. He's right.
Oh, my God.
He didn't take nobody's fucking soul, John. No way he didn't get my quarterback's soul. Jared Goff still has his soul. I tell you what, I got a couple of things to say about this right here. For one, that's Chris Myers down there on the field. Chris Myers, who's got to be, how old is Chris Myers? I don't know. He's well into his 60s.
Yeah.
All right. As an aside, I just, remember I texted you about 2 weeks ago and said, hey, if you had the choice between these two televisions, which would you pick? Well, we discussed it, and I bought a brand new Samsung HDR high UHD TV, and you can really see Chris Myers' hairpiece. You really can see that motherfucker clear. But, you know, the look on his face when Talib said, you ain't taking no fucking soul, and he snatched the microphone back was great. It was great.
We know this defense, and we prepared for it well all week. And what Todd and CJ did this week.
Take somebody's soul. He ain't taking no fucking soul out.
Aqib Talib, excuse the language. He's a little excited.
Bleep that one.
Yeah, we'll bleep.
He's right, though. He's right.
I love that Jared Goff goes, you're going to have to bleep that one. And Chris Myers goes, yeah, we're live.
We're live. You know, there was another part of that at the beginning, because I had audio of that whole thing and the whole interview. That was just so perfect for Jared Goff because, you know, we know he's stupid. He doesn't know which side the Pacific Ocean is on. He doesn't know which side is east, west, where the sun comes up or anything like that. He's just a dumb jock. And at the very beginning, Chris Myers goes, I'm standing here with Jared Goff. What do you think of blah, 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 blah. And Jared goes, he goes, oh, yeah, dude. Just like that before he answers. So... fun stuff from L.A.
Yeah, you know who else was having fun in L.A. was Michael Irvin. Oh, my God.
I see. I haven't heard this. I purposely did not listen to your preview audio so I could hear it live.
Well, he was on Friday night. All right. They're in L.A., NFL Network, and he does Jimmy Kimmel, right?
Right.
And so...
right. Love Jimmy Kimmel, by the way.
Jimmy Kimmel brought up, Jimmy Kimmel knew that Michael Irvin went and talked to the Cowboys on Friday, you know.
Yeah, well, of course he
went
did.
To pump them up a little bit, you know. And so here's right. Kimmel asking.
Take it to the H-O-W-S-V-N-L-F-R.
He's housing it.
Yeah, John, he's housing it.
He's housing it.
Oh, that was great.
All right, so here's Michael talking about what he said to the team.
It's nothing like actually experiencing winning a Super Bowl. And I was telling the guys, I said, listen, man, you got to go. This is it. I said, when we were playing, man, we were winning Super Bowls. It was like the Beatles, baby. Whatever city you went in, you had to go in the back door, the hotels. Everybody was there waiting on you. You want to experience this. Don't let anybody stop you from experiencing it. You want to have this moment. It's an incredible moment when you win championships and you wear that star on the side of your helmet.
Do you think that they don't know that until they actually win? That's something
there's no way they can know it. They were barely sneaking their heads out of their mom's wombs when we were winning Super Bowl.
Right.
They were babies 25 years ago.
Do you tell these guys how much more fun you had than they are having now? Do you ever like just sit them down and say, you think you've got it good? Boy, oh boy, in the 90s. Did we have a party? Look at that. Just me saying it sends you into a state of euphoria.
Yo, let me tell you this. It's funny. I was doing an event, right? I was speaking, and it was an event about social media. And they asked, could I have done well in social media if it was back in the 90s? I said, trust me. I got in a lot of trouble when it was news at 11. You know what kind of problem I would Twitter every second? Are you joking? I'm like, I don't think so. My time was my time, and that was the right time. There's no way I could have survived this time.
Or maybe it would have went the opposite.
Right.
Could you imagine, Tom, how many likes I would have got on Instagram if I would have videotaped myself stabbing my teammate in the neck with a pair of scissors at the barbershop? Odell Beckham get his picture taken on a boat with a bunch of homos. Imagine me with lines on a hooker's butt down in Mexico.
Oh my God, no.
He's right, though. And, you know, he brings up what Aqib Talib, when you said bulletin board material. We are old, dude. It is social media material, and they're all not just looking. They're participating. Right. They're participating. They're not only engaging themselves, they're engaging fans and everything. They're just talking shit to everybody. Some of them do. And I mean, Aqib Talib, I guarantee you he's looking.
Yes, absolutely.
He's probably looking to see, what did Michael Crabtree buy down at the jewelry shop this month? I want to get something for my girl for next Christmas.
Oh, man. All right. So, you know, Michael being in the broadcasting industry, I mean, he only played for the Cowboys, and that's the only team he's ever going to root for. And
Of course. And he is unabashedly Homer about it. And they don't make any bones
about it. And here he's going to talk to Kimmel about just that.
I like that you just openly root for the Cowboys because that's your team and you're just being honest.
And think about this now. In the business that I'm in, broadcasting and being an analyst, everybody used to be, well, you have to make sure that you remain unbiased. I'm like, stop.
Yeah,
I won three Super Bowls with this team. This team paid me enough money to get out of the ghetto. Right. I'm not going to act like I'm unbiased.
Right.
God.
It's your team.
I'll do the best I can, but stop.
Right. And now they got a 300 freaking yard long yacht. I want out on that bitch.
And Kimmel asked Michael about that.
I saw Jerry Jones, your former boss of the Cowboys, just bought a $250 million yacht.
Yes.
Will you go on that yacht? Will you sail around with Jerry?
I'm going to get on that yacht.
Yes, he is.
I helped him pay for it. I was doing one of the Right. He bought the team for $150 and the yacht for $250. I was like, wow. That's a lot of money, man.
No kidding. Yeah.
Great. It's over a football field. It's like over 100 yards long. I'm good. You know, I'm good, but I'll never know that life.
Nope.
Sail around with Jerry. Tom, that sounds like a reality show that needs to be made. There's a million TV channels now, man. Somebody needs to do a Netflix show. Sail around with Jerry.
That could be 9 p.m. on network television, primetime Thursday night, man. Are you kidding? That would be the greatest show ever.
That is binge on Netflix immediately.
Ha! What? Welcome to my first Netflix special, Ride Around with Jerry. I mean, Sail Around with Jerry. Holy shit, I don't even care. This is Captain Pablo. He is pointing the boat wherever I goddamn well tell him. Captain Pablo, point it away from the sun. It's bothering my eyes. Let's go find something.
Let me show you a ride in my helicopter. And they take off and go to the other end of the ship and land.
The other end of the boat. That's right. Now just go over there to the stern. That's right. I've been studying. We just done took off from the bow, and we're going to go back to the stern.
And Michael Irvin's going to join us today. That'd be great.
Pretty soon the Cowboys are going to be out running slot starboard.
Oh my God.
Play slot starboard.
Oh,
man. I'll tell you what. Michael Irvin out on that boat. 3 miles out, he's going to lose every goddamn urge he's ever held in check. They're going to go nuts.
With Jerry, are you kidding?
And you know what? Back to the beginning of it, though. I like what Kimmel had to say because that's one of the things that we like about Michael Irvin. I mean, aside from the fact that he makes ridiculous sounds, I like watching that show on Sunday mornings on NFL Network, and I like listening to Michael Irvin more than anybody, and I don't give a shit that he's a homer for the Cowboys because I know he is, and that's good. Don't bullshit me. Be who you are.
But sometimes Kurt Warner doesn't get him, and you can see it when Michael will say, like, they so Saturday they had a special guest. Emmanuel Sanders was in the studio.
He was terrific, by the way.
I texted you and said, because when the show started, Michael just kept his hand on Emmanuel's shoulder, just everything. He kept squeezing it and pushing on him, and he just, I'm like, oh my God, boy.
It's the Tom Jackson test.
Right. Exactly. Could not
see if he can handle it. This is what it's like in TV, man. You got some guy like me next to you putting his hands on you all
the time.
You're
being tested today, boy.
It's the Tom Jackson test. ESPN failed.
Oh my gosh, that's great. All right, so anyway, They were supposed to each do what's the storyline of the weekend. And of course, Michael's was the Cowboys and talking about, you know, can Dak lead them? And he goes into this thing about the age of the players compared to when Michael played.
Dak Prescott is our man. 24 years ago, Cowboys played in this game. Rich, you brought it up. 24 years. Dak was 1 year old. Amari Cooper was being born. And Zeke was just a swimmer. He was just a swimmer. He wasn't around yet. So 24 years ago, this is a new age for the Dallas Cowboys. Can Dak birth it for us?
All right.
That's that story.
He was a swimmer.
He was just a swimmer at that time. He was just a swimmer.
People might not know the area. There is a natatorium right across the street from the L.A. Coliseum for people who actually do swimming.
Okay, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's
you know natatoriums. He's talking about the USC swim team. That's what he's talking about.
Good God. So Rich has got to try to, you know, deflect.
That's part of his shtick, though. That's part of his act, is to be the dad of the show.
All right. So the best thing was, apparently, Friday night, Jerry did have a party, as a matter of fact.
Well, goddamn right, Tom. Did you look at the calendar? It said Friday.
It was apparently star-studded, and of course, Michael was there.
Of course it was.
And Rich asked Michael.
I want to get me some glory hole.
Rich asked Michael about it.
And with Post Malone last night.
Oh, yeah, I was out there last night with Post Malone.
Did Jerry have a party last night that we were not invited to? Yes and yes.
Is what I can say to that, yes.
We didn't make the cut,
It was
Rich.
Only the... The really close and tight. Only the ones that are really pulling for what's right.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
if you know what I mean.
And then he put on a Cowboys hat.
That's right. Let me tell you something, Tom. Used to be I'd throw a party and people would show up in tuxedos. Now a fella shows up with tattoos all over his goddamn face and I don't know what the hell. He sounds like the name of a goddamn cereal box detective.
Jerry, I was going to ask if you knew who Post Malone even was.
Holy smokes, I have no idea who it is. And you know what? This guy that's behind my voice right now making fun of me, he don't know who it is neither. All he knows is there's tattoos all over this boy's face.
I've been popping, man, I feel just like a rock star.
Oh, yeah.
All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. When me call up on no and show up, man, them the shot toss.
Oh, it's funny, man.
That's right. Well, my homies pull up on you. Make sure I know. Because you know what? When this homie's pulling up, it's in a goddamn 300-foot-long ship.
I heard he came from, like, money.
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. Just listening to that, honestly, y'all know, and everybody makes fun of me because of it, that I have no idea about pop culture. And every once in a while when I hear something, it either intrigues me or makes me laugh, and that was intriguing. So I think tomorrow I'm going to get on my Spotify and look him up some.
Oh, yeah, you should do that. Yeah, Rockstar now.
I think I will.
That's got to be his biggest song he's made so far as Rockstar.
I've been popping, man, I feel just like a rock star.
It's just cool. It's just cool song.
I think my criteria for most pop music is have some kind of lyric that makes some sense that doesn't just say your name 30 times and, you know, that's all. I don't need to fucking know your name.
I know. Exactly. Make me think, man.
That's right. Now all these people are like, God damn, he is old.
I was reading about, there's a new song from Bring Me the Horizon called Mantra. And they're a younger, pretty heavy band. But
I was reading about this song, and it turns out it's a love song, really. And, you know, I always think it's good if somebody's good at writing when they can give you lyrics that can be interpreted several different ways.
Right. For me, mantra means gigantic monster.
Oh, well, is that what you call marriage or your wife? I don't know.
No, not necessarily my wife. Although we do play Godzilla sometimes. It's fun. She puts on a little city costume and I trample over it. You know, we were talking about the playoffs.
I know. I know. But I had to say this.
We brought up Godzilla, which probably should bring us to the Patriots game. No, we were talking about the Cowboys.
No, wait a second. I just wanted to say that with this song mantra, you know, like I said, you can apply different things to the lyrics, because like the first lyric is, do you want to start a cult with me? And the singer Ollie explains that really two married people in love, it's really a two-person cult. That's what it is.
I guess, yeah, that's true. Because I'll tell you what, me and my wife, when we have an argument, I always make the cyanide Kool-Aid and start to think about making her drink it.
Jesus Christ. All right, so we got one fan this week, and of course he's a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
And
I don't remember his name, but
it doesn't matter.
He does like one of those little reaction videos. It's not he's funny. He's kind of like a comedian. He clips it together, but I like him. He's funny.
Well, he just wants everybody fired.
Another damn season. Another disappointment. Another damn loss. I'm so sick of this shit from these damn Dallas Cowboys, man.
Smack that hand.
Jason Garrett gotta go. I have been saying this for the last umpteen damn seasons.
I'm serious.
Umpteen damn seasons. Time to motherfucking damn umpteen season.
Is he smacking the top of his hand into the palm of his other hand? Yes. Every syllable.
That's what he is doing. That's right, man. Motherfucking damn, motherfucking damn Cowboys. Man, top motherfucking damn umpteen. 2-5, Jason Garrett. The motherfucking damn, motherfucking damn Cowboys.
Hell, the motherfucking damn, the motherfucking damn, the motherfucking damn, the motherfucking damn,
Oh, wait, play him again. Let me see if I can clap to him.
Hell, the motherfucking damn, the motherfucking damn, the motherfucking damn, the motherfucking damn, what's that motherfucking damn coach name?
All right, kids, everybody at home.
Good old Tar Heel. Let's continue with this fan.
And his ass still there. Show up, get a couple of damn wins, and his ass lose every single time when it counts. Where we at now? Back at the damn crib again. Uh-huh. Another playoff loss. He gotta go. The whole damn coaching staff, they gotta go. Jerry Jones, I don't give a damn if you look at this man as your son, your nephew. I don't care if y'all have Christmas dinner together, Thanksgiving dinner, yeah, Easter dinner, Kwanzaa. I do not give a damn. His ass gotta go. See this shit, man. Get me hyped up every damn season. I'm sitting here talking all kind of noise. Oh, my Cowboy gonna do this. My Cowboy gonna do that. My Cowboy finna beat this. My Cowboy finna beat that. And my Cowboy finna don't do shit. That. We got the defense. We got a fire running back with Zeke back there toting that rock, eating that. Yeah, you know, he dealt with...
Wait. He's talking to... Shit.
Dak. He, you know...
He's all hyping everybody. Defense great. Zeke running back. He's eating. And then Dak.
Yeah, you know... He dealt with, you know...
What? You know...
He down with it.
Dak. Yeah, you know, he down with, you know, he Dak.
He Dak. You know, Dak, he's Dak.
He down with it. That's all you gotta know, you know.
He Dak, you know. But our damn coaching staff, they garbage. PG per garbage. Damn, man.
PG per garbage.
Oh, shit, that's too funny. That is too funny.
He Dak.
He Dak.
He down. You know?
Dak. He Dak. Dak. He Dak.
Yeah, you know?
Right.
Wow. Oh, my God. That guy kills me.
Yep.
There was a lot of good Cowboys fans this week, but as you can see, we had a lot of stuff to get to this week, like stupid pop music and shit, so.
All right. You wanted to talk about the Patriots game. What game? I don't know what kind of... That wasn't really much of a game. God, they made it look so easy.
I know. And, you know, both of us picked the freaking Chargers.
Well, both I got 7.5 points, but it wasn't enough.
4.5 points.
Yeah, I mean. Or 4 points. No, it was 4 points. That's right.
I got it 4.5 points. But the fact of the matter was, Bill Belichick, all right, genius. He's a goddamn genius,
yep.
Tom.
Yep, he is.
All right, you know, they showed pregame. They showed that they had duct taped these thermometers to the wall behind the Chargers bench so they could all see that it was 12 degrees, right? They could all see it. Well, Tony Romo, before the game, when you know the Patriots won the toss, they took the ball. Tony Romo, remember, he was all surprised. I don't know why they're taking the ball. Nobody takes the ball anymore. Well, because those guys are from fucking Southern California, and they just came out of the tunnel all hyped up, and they got a little sweat worked up, and now they got to sit on the bench for 7 minutes while Tom Brady marches down the field and freeze. Now, granted, the Chargers scored on their first possession, but it was close. They were on like a 3rd and 12. If they would have gotten that, if they would have been stopped on that 3rd and long right there, that game was over. Right then and there. It was over, Tom. Over.
Right.
That's Belichick.
Yeah.
And this week when I hear that it's going to be 5 degrees in, or 10 degrees in Kansas City, I don't care. Bill Belichick doesn't fucking care.
I'm a football coach. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
The medical staff is the medical staff. Right.
I don't give a shit about hypothermia. Hypo what?
Who cares?
Who cares?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Tom Brady doesn't give a shit either. Once you're over the age of 40, your skin is dried out. It doesn't feel the cold nearly as much, you young little bastards.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
So, yeah, I tell you what. Philip Rivers. You hear all this talk. Hall of Fame, you think?
Yeah, I said that before. I said that this year.
Boy, it's hard without a ring, man.
I know.
And, you know, not only without a ring, but the one thing that stands in your way all the time keeps kicking your fucking ass. Just keeps kicking your fucking ass.
I know.
It doesn't matter whether it's at your house or at their house.
But do you take that into consideration that he had to deal with the greatest quarterback of all time?
I do. And if you're not going to win a ring, you better get past that guy just once. And he never has beaten him.
That's true. Manning has beaten him.
Right, Manning, he's got a big giant forehead. He's bound to go in the Hall of Fame. They got a lot of leftover goddamn bronze. They need to use it somehow. Like, this guy's got to go in. But no, I'm serious. I'm on the fence here. People are you people out there in Bang Radio Hour Land, you're going to have to convince me why this guy needs to go in the Hall of Fame. And I am ready to argue. Believe me, I'm an American. That's all I do.
Should Antonio Gates be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
He doesn't have a ring. He doesn't have a ring.
No, but he's not a quarterback. Quarterbacks are judged differently. We know this.
There are quarterbacks in the hall that don't have rings.
That's true, but not very many. Not in the Super Bowl era.
Well, I'm not talking about very many. I'm talking about Philip Rivers. I think he's an exception, just like Marino's an exception.
Marino retired with every record there was, and he at least played in one.
Okay.
So... I tell you what, we're going to leave this up there, out there to Bang Radio Hour fans. You all can argue with me all you damn well want. I nominate Joe Sturr or Brian Borland or one of our good listeners that'll listen to this very early on, and they can make a thread on Facebook, and I will argue with anybody that wants to tell me otherwise. And if you can change my mind, I will accept that.
All right, well, here's Tom Brady after the game. On the sideline. This is good.
Okay. It's a rematch against Kansas City. This time, though, in Arrowhead. What can we expect from that one?
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
That is great. Everybody thinks we suck and can't win a game. But we'll see. It'll be fun.
Yeah, you know, it's January and it's the Patriots. And no matter what anybody wants to say about old ass Tom Brady or their lack of defense like they used to have, that fucking Sony Michel is kicking some serious ass.
Yes, he is.
He is taking names.
Well, Belichick, you know, everybody, you know, you and I already mentioned that they've won 8 straight AFC championships. Yeah.
Well, they've been to 8 straight.
Or, yeah, I'm sorry. They'll be playing in their 9th one. Well, you know, man, that, you know, what does Belichick think about that?
I mean, honestly, I don't really care about that right now. I'm worried about this team and what this team has done. This team's worked hard all year to put itself in position to to compete for the AFC Championship, you know, obviously against a great team in Kansas City. So that's really what we're focused on. Whatever happened last year or some other year, you know, whatever it is, right. It's all in the books. Right. This team's got a lot in front of it, and that's really what we're going to focus on is what this game can do.
It's all in the books.
That's right. Listen, I'm already 55 weeks behind on the 2020 season, so this is just a pain in my ass here is what this is.
Probably has a chart.
Unless I got a chart. If I sleep, all right, that's 8 hours. I'm off on my schedule here.
Got to do these stupid
time for this.
Stupid postseason games. I should be scouting players for next season.
That's right. God damn it. We're scheduled to play 16 games. Give me the ring when we're done and let's get on to next year.
I got a draft in 3 months. Are you kidding?
That's right. I'm excelling in all three phases of what the fuck are you doing in front of me?
I mean, honestly, I don't really care about that right now.
I tell you what. Fuck the Patriots. But God, I love Bill Belichick, man. I can't wait for his Hall of Fame speech. I hope it is 5 words.
I don't have time for this. I'm sorry, but you know, I caught a shuttle plane. I got to get back to the airport.
Bill, it's time for your Hall of Fame speech.
We don't have time for all that.
We don't have time for all that.
Actually, I think it'll be great. His speech is going to be one for the ages.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Oh, it will be. Because, you know, everybody always says, and we've even heard audio that we haven't played on the show, that of when people ask him things other than the next opponent or what might be part of his game plan, he'll talk football, shoot, to anybody.
Right.
Yeah, I like Bill Belichick. So, even if he is a cheating bastard. It's part of his charm, though, Tom. Speaking of, you know, people probably realize we're in a very good mood. And you know why? I think I know why our mood is so jolly. The Eagles are out.
They are out. They are
out.
Out. Thank God for that.
Out.
Man.
I'm sorry. This Eagles loss brought to you by not enough points. Not enough points. Nick Foles couldn't deliver.
And Merrill can't pronounce this name.
As Onyeama, Onyeama makes the tackle.
Who the hell is this? Oh my God.
As Onyeama, Onyeama makes the tackle.
This complete butchery of the Saints linebacker's name. Brought to you by the good people. Oh, shit. I can't even make up a bullshit name. I'm laughing too hard.
Oh, no, no, my yada.
I think Trump should make him our ambassador to Japan.
Oh, my God.
That would be awesome. I'm not even.
USA! USA!
Right. All right, let's
home of the big
see. Oh, this was interesting. Alshon Jeffrey. I was really surprised by this. Well, I guess I'm not really, but kind of still. Yeah, I am. I just didn't see this coming. I didn't expect to hear this come out of his mouth.
Okay.
Well, here, it's just Q&A with this reporter.
You should make the catch. I mean, that's the catch that you make all the time.
It happens to the best of us. I mean, move on. I mean, it hurts right now, but I guarantee we'll be back next year for sure.
Okay, so he made, you know, that ball went through his hands, got intercepted right at the end and right everything. And he says, you know, it happens to the best of us and everything. We'll be back next year. And that's all right. Great, okay?
Right. Yeah, it's good.
But then he says this.
Won the Super Bowl, if it wasn't for me, last year. But that's last year. I mean, hey, I won it just as bad as them guys. Things like that happen.
Okay.
What does that have to do with this game? You're actually going to say that about yourself. You got all these teammates. All we heard about was this great team and how everybody trusts each other. And he just said, we wouldn't have won the Super Bowl last year without me.
That's right. And I think that he is 100% correct, Tom, because if it wasn't for him and his great ability to drive a wedge between this team while they've lost their playoff game and finally found the fucking earth with their foreheads, I wouldn't have hope for the future, because my hope for the future is that the Eagles fall apart and go 5-11 next year. Way to go, Alshon Jeffrey. That's the way to step up, baby.
As Onyeama, Onyeama makes the tackle.
That's right.
He's going to come in with some kung fu shit. You know, Alshon Jeffrey, honest to God, if you really feel that way, come to the Redskins. We could use somebody like you because that dude is a fucking beast. He just fucked up one play. That's all.
I don't know, man, if y'all didn't hear. This was crazy. Clemson, you know, they won the national championship, so they get to go to the White House.
Right. Everybody heard about this. This has been the biggest joke for the last two days.
I mean, seriously?
What, you know, I don't care. I don't care.
It was embarrassing to watch when the team was actually there looking at the food like, they were looking at the food like, really? The one guy goes, well, our nutritionist is going to love this.
Well, my God, what kind of 20-year-old is that?
I don't know.
What's the matter with you? You don't do that? Hey, what do you do? You don't jerk off either? What's the matter?
Chad Johnson lived on McDonald's, man.
Right. But then again, he lived in the stadium. So, you know, funnel cake was part of his regular diet.
For those of you who might be on the other side of the world that don't know that the United States government is currently shut down, longest shutdown in history. You know, while Trump fucking battles for his border wall, which won't stop anybody from coming through a tunnel, which they're already doing.
He's making a deal, Tom. He's the great negotiator.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Anyway, so the White House kitchen staff has been furloughed. They're out. They're not working because of the government shutdown.
Right.
So Trump, you know, doing his annual national championship team, gets to come to the White House for a visit and they get to eat. And so Trump sprang for dinner, and it was all fast food. John, this is crazy. We have McDonald's. We have Burger King. Listen to this. They had 48 Big Macs, 42 fish fillets, 54 quarter pounders, 48 six-piece nuggets, 32 side salads, 52 chicken go wraps, 30 junior cheeseburger deluxes, and 30 Whoppers, plus many, and it's in quote, many, many fries and Domino's pizza.
Oh, yeah, many, many fries. I like the many kinds of fries.
The only, honestly, for one, all right, excuse me, I've got to move my chair up here. Listen.
I've got to get up here on the microphone, Tom, because I'm going to come up here and we're going to talk about some politics for a second, because I think that this is one of those places where Democrats need to shut the fuck up. This is a ridiculous place to fucking pitch your battles. Who gives a shit? It's a shutdown.
He went and got something cheap for these guys to eat. And I think that, yeah, it's cheesy. It makes for some ridiculous optics, but who gives a fuck? That's what I think.
A couple of the players thought it was a joke. When they saw the table, they thought he was playing a joke on them.
I don't see no toy. How the fuck can he call this a presidential happy meal?
They did have the pizza and the french fries were under heat lamps, but all the burgers and everything else were just sitting on a table for hours. It sat there. I'm like, what? Oh my God.
See, this would be my biggest complaint. If I'm one of these players, this would be why I'm giving that look, because this burger has been sitting here for 2.5 hours.
Exactly. Exactly.
These fries have been sitting here for 2.5 hours. Come on. You know, that's the worst part of it all.
Nothing you can do, folks.
All right. What do you got for email?
Actually, let me see. I'm going to check the Facebook page because we didn't get any email that I'm even going to bother to read this week. We've been running long on time, so I'm just going to move right on through. We got the usual emails from people that are trying to make fun of players and things like that, but you know, you got to step your game, fellas. I mean, I'm not even going to embarrass anybody and I'm not going to read any of them because you never know when the executives from NBC are listening. So step it up. Let's see. Chris Hopkins wants to know if Marvin Lewis told me to ask Bang if Bang it was hiring. Are we hiring? We want to hire Marvin Lewis. I hear he kind of moves in.
He doesn't have much of a personality, man. I don't think he'd fit in.
You got to run it up in there like a hard-on, Tom.
He could be an intern.
Yeah, he could do that, but I don't feel like having him tell me that all the time.
You got to stick it in there like a big old erection.
Remember that bit from Hard Knocks?
Yes.
Let's see. Eric Stoll wants to check in with Jerry and Skeeter and Dwayne. Well, I think we've heard lots of Jerry today and Skeeter and Dwayne. Well, goddamn, we just done lost in the playoffs. We is still in a drunken stupor, boy. We ain't got nothing to say. Goddamn.
Well, Alphonse wants to know which head coach does Edna Blumpkin prefer out of the four left.
Edna Blumpkin? My God, that's somebody, Alphonse. You've been listening since forever.
Let's see. Oh, well, for one, Bill Belichick and me have done it so many goddamn times, and it's just getting to be like we're married. I'm not into that. It's not very much fun. He's a sourpuss. I don't like it very much. And you know something, Tom? He refuses to do the cunnilingus.
Oh, he won't do that.
He does. No, he won't do it. He believes it's not part of the three phases. Oh. He believes in, well, I ain't saying, but it starts with the fondling and then the failure. So we're going to leave it at that.
I'm going to guess no on Andy Reid.
Of course not. No on Andy Reid. Listen, I'm not as young as I used to be. I can't really hold all that weight up while I'm doing what I got to do. You know, nowadays it hurts my wrists.
I understand.
So, no, Andy Reid, you're going to have to either, if you win, we're going to have to talk about some sort of maybe hydraulic support, maybe something, you know, if you've got something from under your truck. Who else is left? We've got Sean Payton. Now, Sean Payton always looks like he's trying not to fart.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
He does. He looks like he's always trying to hold one in, and I'm sorry, but that's just not a turn-on, especially if I'm expected to put my face down there and do any ribbon or anything. I can't be doing that if I think that Sean Payton's going to fart. For God's sakes, Tom, he lives in New Orleans. He's eating red beans and rice all the time.
I knew you were going to go to L.A.
Well, you know, he's 31 years old. You know, the last time I had some fun with a 31-year-old must have been back before the war. And I'm talking about World War I. Oh, my God. It was way back in the day.
Was that with John?
Oh, absolutely not. John's way too ugly for me. He's got a funny smell, you know.
No, I don't know.
Well, it's kind of like vomit and mothballs. You don't want to get your nose anywhere near that thing.
Oh.
Well, you know, like a big old whale washed up on the beach.
Jeez.
And we will leave it at that. That's enough. I'm going to lose my accent. That's that.
There you go.
All right. Well, man, I went 2-2 last week, but John, you went 1-3.
I know. I was terrible last week. It was terrible. And you know, the best thing about it is like right around, oh, I don't know, 12:30 on Sunday, I just posted up my four picks. And some total stranger at like 3:45 goes, "Your life must suck." Like, what the fuck? who are you? Thank you. I was like, yeah, I guess. I love people, man.
That's great.
Your life must suck.
yeah, so I had Chiefs -5.5 and Cowboys +7, Chargers +4, Eagles +7.5. And so the Eagles, they only lost by 6. We both got that.
Yeah.
And then I got the Chiefs -5.5. They won by more than right. that and missed the
Rams won by 8. Other two.
Yeah. Yep. And so that was your other miss was you took the Colts +5.
Yeah, I did. And then, you know, the Colts did exactly, or the Chiefs did exactly to the Colts what Bill Belichick wanted to do to the Chargers. And that's they left them sitting there and they got them cold and Andrew Luck just couldn't get anything going. 3-out. And that was that.
Yeah. So now. Here I 2-2 again. I think I've been 10 games over 500 for like a month now, and it doesn't change either way. I just keep going 500 every week. But you are now 32-35, so you have 3 games below 500, and there are 3 yes. games in that left. You got to get every one of them right.
My 3 fingers are sticking above the water.
You talk about it being about the weather, man. We are, John. It's a polar vortex alert.
Oh my God, a polar vortex, Tom. I didn't dress for it. I'm just never prepared for vortexes. It sucks. What does one wear to a polar vortex?
A lot.
A lot?
A lot.
I guess you can take off layers if things get going.
Well, it could be the coldest game in NFL history.
Listen, as long as it doesn't stop that cotton candy vortex from spinning around, I'm happy.
I mean, this thing is sitting right down on top of Missouri, the core of it.
Right. Oh, that's fine. Missouri sucks. You people deserve it.
Jeez.
So what is the low going to be? What is the average temperature of game time going to be? What are we expecting? Like 10 degrees, 5 degrees?
Well, it could be worse than that. All right. First off, the record for the coldest kickoff at Arrowhead is 1 degree Fahrenheit.
Okay, well, that's pretty fucking low. There's the what is that, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when they're in Kansas? And he says, how cold do you think it is? And he looks at me and he says, 1.
Right. Well, now,
1.
I don't believe it's going to be the coldest game in NFL history. That was the Ice Bowl.
It was the freaking Chargers against the Bengals in the playoffs. Wasn't that like minus 29?
No.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right here. The record for the coldest game in NFL history is December 31st, 1967. And the Green Bay game was 13 degrees below zero.
All right. Well, then what was the, because if you're looking at the list, there's got to be, number two's got to be the Bengals versus the Chargers in the playoffs, like 1983.
I don't know if you remember this from 2 years ago. Tom Brady on the sideline puts that big old coat on. It looks like there's people in it. And there's a picture of that in the story. I love it.
He had another one on this weekend, I think. They got like all kinds of air pumps going up and they're heating him up.
Oh, yeah. They're heated. That's what they are. Yeah. You know, so these guys aren't doing too terrible. I mean, they run out on the field for a few plays and then they go get warm again. So it's not, you know.
Dude, by the way, the most quintessential photograph that says I'm Donald Trump is Sterling Silver dishes with freaking Donald with McDonald's freaking sauces in them. Not even open, just you know, the packages of nugget sauce in these Sterling Silver White House dishes.
I know.
They had that big silver platter of freaking salads with the plastic tops on them and shit.
For those that are health conscious, you know. the vegans.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't know. You know, like I said, it's not a big scandal. I just think it's funny.
So here we go again, John. Oh my God. It's going to be so cold. Well, Tom Brady's more experienced in the cold, so I can't go with the Chiefs. I got to go with the Patriots. No, I'm taking the Chiefs -3.
You know what? I'd love to. I really would. I'd love to take the Chiefs, but I can't bet against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I can't do it. I can't fucking do it. So I'm sorry, I'm taking the Patriots.
Well, look, that, you know, if I can think of much worse things than a classic Drew Brees versus Tom Brady Super Bowl. I mean, that's not the end of the world. It'd probably be a fantastic game, and that's what it would be.
No,
if you're
as
right,
a matter of fact, it would be exactly what I predicted back in August.
Yeah, I know. Saints -3.5, I'll take that too.
Actually, I'm going to go against my pick. I'm taking the Rams.
Oh, really?
I am. I think that the Saints offense last week really didn't get it going. And I think what I've noticed, I mean, seriously, since December, think about it. Since like December the 1st, they don't have a second wide receiver. Their second wide receiver most of the time is Alvin Kamara. They'll line him way out wide. Everybody else is just patchwork.
Have you not watched the Saints their past three games?
Yeah, but I see the defense beat the Eagles last week, man. The defense stepped up and gave the opportunities to the Saints to be able to take back the lead that the Eagles, Big Dick Nick was all over them, and the defense stepped up.
For two drives.
The defense, I think, is the winner of the game last week. And if you want to give me the Saints, even at home with that offense, their offense right now, I don't think is as explosive as the Saints. I mean, as the Rams.
What do you want from them?
I think I want them to beat the Rams, but I don't think they're going to. I think the Rams have a...
Well, no, I mean, you're saying their offense didn't do anything.
No, not that they didn't do anything. But I think that the defense is who won the game.
Drew Brees threw an interception on the first play of the game, and so the Eagles got to just go boom, boom, and they were in, and then they had the next drive stalled, and the Eagles got another time. But at the end of the day, I mean, Brees throws for over 300 yards. They ran for 150 yards. That's what I mean when I say, what do you want?
Well, I tell you what, they did a couple of things right. For one, that first interception was way downfield. That was a great play by the defensive back, but it wasn't like they got the ball back at the 20. They were beyond the 50 when they got the ball, so they had an opportunity. Yeah, it was a long pass. But the fact of the matter is, one of the things that I think was key in the game was that the freaking Saints offensive line was at one point, they knocked out three defensive linemen for the Eagles in like six plays. Wham, wham, wham. So I kept thinking, wow, what the fuck's going on here? But either way, two of them came back. One of them's gone for, I think one of them broke an Achilles, and I don't see how you do that if you're an offensive lineman. To a guy. I don't see how you do that to a guy. That's usually something that happens.
Right.
But you know, Cox came back. But even still, Cox only played 40-some plays out of almost 100. So I like the Saints. Don't get me wrong. I like what the Saints were able to do. They were able to take the Eagles and take them down. But I think that the Rams, you give the Rams that kind of a start in the football game, they're not going to freaking take off the gas because they can hit you so many different ways.
You said they need another receiver, and that's why I said, have you not watched in the past 3 weeks? Because Ted Ginn's been playing for the past 3 weeks. Well,
he has. I haven't seen much of a factor out of him, though. You know, and believe me, I've had my eye on him because everybody who's listening to me right now that has played in the fantasy football league with me this year knows that I picked him because I had high hopes for him. I just haven't seen it coming out of him yet. By the way, Redskins fans that fucking cried themselves a goddamn river over Semi Cobbs. Note, 0 catches on 0 plays played in 0 games active. Shut the fuck up! Sorry. Reactionary motherfuckers.
You and I are opposite on our picks, both of them.
Yeah, I'm taking the Patriots and the Rams, which is, I should have taken the Saints because that's who I picked in August, but the Rams just, you know, I just think they look pretty good.
All right, our show will be out a little bit later than normal next week, but
yeah,
it'll be before the Super Bowl, so it really doesn't matter.
Right. And, you know, because Super Bowl week, it gives us time to collect more things.
Right.
You know, I know everybody likes the show out early, and we like to get it out on Thursday at the very latest, but the fact of the matter is a lot of things that we do on this show that are different from other shows is it takes a couple of days before some people put it out. Some people send me stuff, and I know I love it. Now, somebody sent me a Cowboy fan just today. I love it. It's just too late. Sorry.
It's all right.
Great. Yeah. Well, thanks for sending it. Do it again.
So it'll be out like around the weekend next week.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It'll give you something to do. Don't worry.
Yeah. We'll do it again next time.
Later.
As Onyama, Onyeyamada makes the tackle.
And there's Eli with the interception to seal the loss. Very good, Eli.
You've been listening to the Bang Radio Hour.
Mein lieber Schwan, hat der einen abgekriegt.
Listen to me.
Bang Radio.
Wait, don't.
I only can control what I can control. When there's not much I can control, it's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Oh, Troy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God!
Ain't a whole lot of that shit right there, yo.
You don't have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquito.
Stop right there, peoples of UK. If you're a cereal soggy sandwich eater, or your mouth water when microwave go ping, then you commit crimes against cooking. So thank goodness for Meerkat Meals. Dine out with 2-for-1 on food at your local favorites.
Like Coast to Coast. And Prezzo.
All with the Meerkat app when you buy so compare the market.
Ooh, lunch is ready.
I'll get my coat.
Qualifying purchase, 2-for-1 on equivalent starters, mains and desserts, a la carte only, Sunday to Thursday, T's and C's and exclusions apply.